Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about coronavirus, legal challenges against a new Montana law that limits the number of ballots a person can deliver, and the annual Made in Montana trade show. It's Friday, March 13th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana Governor Steve Bullock declared a state of emergency yesterday due to the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports that while there are still no positive cases in the state, the governor says the order is necessary to prepare.
After forming a coronavirus task force last week, Bullock says he's furthering the state's efforts to prepare for the first cases of COVID-19 in the state by issuing an executive order declaring a state of emergency.
By doing so, I will have the ability to further direct a coordinated response to COVID-19 and to mobilize all resources necessary and to take additional steps as may be necessary.
Bullock says the order gives him the ability to mobilize state resources, including $16 million in state funds and personnel from the National Guard. Bullock says the order also gives him the ability to order event and school closures, though he says those decisions will remain with local organizers and officials for the time being. Bullock says the state has the capacity to test over 1,000 people for the virus. The Montana Health Department reports 55 people in the state have been tested for COVID-19. All tests returned negative results. Earlier this week, one Montana resident visiting Maryland tested positive for COVID-19. County health departments and partners have activated local response plans and protocols to prepare for the virus. The governor's coronavirus task force today launched an informal line for Montanans at 1-888-333-0461. A website has also been set up to keep the public up to date on the task force's actions at covid19.mt.gov. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
There are no confirmed cases of the COVID-19 disease in the state. The Montana University system is moving to online classes starting Monday, March 23rd, as cases of the novel coronavirus spread around the world. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Clayton Christian, Commissioner of Higher Education, wrote in a memo to university officials Thursday that in every instance possible, all Montana University system classes will transition in-class instruction to online or other remote teaching models. The system includes 16 universities and colleges, including University of Montana and Montana State University. Campuses will remain open and operational for students. That includes residence halls, dining services, computer labs, and most other campus services. Christian says all university system students and employees need to monitor their official email address for more communications and planning details between now and March 23rd. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana is reporting no in-state cases of the novel coronavirus, but as Kay Erickson reports, concerns over COVID-19 claimed a slew of college basketball tournaments yesterday, including one in Billings next week.
Thursday morning, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics announced it was canceling all remaining winter championship events, including the Women's Division I Basketball Championships scheduled for next week in Billings over the concerns for the COVID-19 disease. Alex Tyson, executive director with Visit Billings, said the cancellation is a disappointment for all those involved with the tournament, but it is the right decision for the wellness of the student athletes and the community.
There's an emotional piece to this. You know, we hosted this event for 3 years. We were really excited about this fourth and final year. And it wasn't just the fourth and final year in Billings. This is the 40th anniversary, and it's the end of the Division I 32-team championship.
Thursday morning, the Big Sky Conference, which includes Montana State University and the University of Montana, also canceled the remainder of its men's and women's tournaments in Boise, Idaho, just an hour before a men's game was to tip off. I'm Kay Erickson for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Yesterday afternoon, the NCAA announced it was canceling the men's and women's basketball tournaments, which were slated to begin next week, as well as other winter and all spring championships for this academic year. The Montana State Lottery officially kicked off Sports Bet Montana this week, which will allow Montanans to place bets on games at about 180 locations around the state. But Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the rollout comes as many major sports and college leagues are suspending seasons and canceling events due to coronavirus.
And their beacons are pretty much placed central in the bar.
Eric May owns the Bulldog Saloon in downtown Whitefish, and he's showing me two discreet black little boxes attached to the ceiling. The beacons will allow his customers to place bets on sports games through the Montana State Lottery's mobile app or on a kiosk.
I think the NFL is probably the biggest draw is the football, but NHL, NBA, the college basketball season that's coming to March Madness, the Major League Baseball, those kinds of things, those are going to be your top four or five things that people are going to want to bet on.
The 2019 Montana legislature passed a law making sports wagering legal in the state, but there may not be much action when betting goes live here later this week as the NBA, NHL, and MLB suspend their seasons to varying degrees due to the coronavirus. Major college sporting events are also being canceled.
And now it's kind of, on hold. So, I'm not sure what kind of decisions are going to be made by the lottery. They rolled it out on Tuesday.
Montana lottery spokesperson Jennifer McKee says about 24 locations were up and running Wednesday, and bets are being placed. She says the system is designed to give customers refunds when events are canceled. McKee adds that despite most major sporting events in the U.S. coming to a halt, the lottery expects to finish its rollout by Sunday.
We know that this is a product that people will like, and it'll pick back up when sporting picks back up.
Once that pickup happens, sports betting is expected to bring in $13 million to the state its first year. That number is expected to grow to $17 million in the next 4 years. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Five Native American tribes and voting rights organizations are challenging a new Montana law that limits the number of ballots a person can deliver on others' behalf. Nikki Ouellette reports the lawsuit filed yesterday seeks to put a stop to the law before the June 2nd primary.
The Ballot Interference Prevention Act, or BIPA, passed by voters in 2018, limits the number of ballots a person or group can drop off on someone else's behalf to 6. It also requires people to sign a form letting election officials know if they're dropping off another person's ballot. Native American Tribes, Western Native Voice, and Montana Native Vote say this makes it more difficult for people living on rural reservations to vote. In a lawsuit filed on their behalf, the American Civil Liberties Union of Montana and the Native American Rights Fund call the restriction a violation of state constitutional rights to vote and freedom of speech and association. Lillian Alvernez, an Indigenous Justice Legal Fellow with the ACLU of Montana, says people living on rural reservations rely on get-out-the-vote organizers to collect and transport ballots to election and post offices that would otherwise be inaccessible.
Organizations like Western Native Voice and Montana Native Vote make it possible for a lot of people to vote who otherwise maybe couldn't, and one example of that is through their organizing efforts and ballot collection efforts.
Montana voters passed BIPA in 2018 by 63-37% after it failed in the legislature the previous year. Under the law, only spouses, family or household members, caregivers, or close acquaintances may turn in ballots after filling out a form at home or at the election office. Previously, Get Out the Vote groups could round up hundreds of ballots in rural areas and bring them to the election office. That led some people to worry about voter fraud, though election officials have found no evidence of voter fraud by absentee ballot in Montana. Alvernez with the ACLU says her organization plans to file a preliminary injunction next week. The lawsuit appeals to the Secretary of State, Attorney General, and Commissioner of Political Practices. COPP Jeff Mangan says his office will release a statement upon review and when appropriate. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
Election administrators from three Montana counties told state lawmakers last month that BIPA is frustrating electors, suppressing votes, and is easily bypassed because people could collect absentee ballots and mail them rather than drop them off. Land managers are taking advantage of cool, wet conditions to intentionally burn areas they think could help reduce wildland fire risk to certain communities. Rachel Kramer reports this season the Bureau of Land Management is planning multiple prescribed burns in north central Montana.
Four of the five prescribed burns are scheduled this spring near Winnett, Lewistown, Glasgow, and Opheim. A fifth burn northeast of White Sulphur Springs is set to take place between August and November. The projects range from 4,000 acres of federal, state, and private lands in the Missouri Musselshell Breaks to 50 acres in the North Moccasins Mountains. They're part of a larger national wildfire reduction strategy. Sarah Holm, a BLM public affairs specialist, says the purpose of the prescribed burns is different at each location.
Some areas we are trying to reduce conifer encroachment of the meadows. In other areas, we are trying to help restore the crested wheatgrass back to the native vegetation. But the main purpose is to make it a more resilient landscape to wildfires.
During prescribed burns, land managers intentionally ignite fires in a specific area to burn brush and smaller trees so they are less likely to fuel wild blazes later. Holmes says the agency has to wait for the right conditions before starting a burn. High humidity, low wind, moist soil.
That's why these five burns are being held over the next 9 months, because we can plan it for one day and then that day comes and it can be too windy, or it can be, you know, something can be off and we have to wait.
Earlier this week, the Billings Fire Department said one of two separate controlled burns on the west end of the city got out of hand and had to be put out. The National Significant Wildland Fire Potential Outlook pegs Montana's fire potential as average for March. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana Democratic Senator John Tester says rural America is now one step closer to better broadband coverage. The Broadband Data Act that cleared the U.S. Senate this week is on its way to President Donald Trump's desk, where it's expected to be signed into law. It directs the Federal Communications Commission to build more accurate coverage maps. It may not sound particularly dramatic, but Tester, who farms near Big Sandy, says it sets the table for important service improvements.
The maps were really bad. They were really bad. It showed where folks had access to broadband that simply did not. My house was one of them, by the way. And so it's really important that we get those fixed before you can allocate the dollars.
The bill passed without objection in both the U.S. House and Senate. House Democrats and the Trump administration disagreed this week about how and when to best move ahead with a $20 billion broadband funding program before those maps get updated. A landowner advocacy group in Montana filed a complaint this week against Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, saying the department has not thoroughly explored the consequences of allowing free-roaming wild bison in the state. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The United Property Owners of Montana say Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks failed to fully investigate the possible effect wild bison could have on Montana ranchers and farmers in a document that assesses how the state should reintroduce the animals in Montana, if at all. United Property Owners Policy Director Chuck Deneau says the group believes free-roaming wild bison could do damage to property, crops, and livestock.
They could decimate a crop, for instance. They could cause a great deal of damage to hay supplies and other types of forage. But probably the biggest risk is with disease and brucellosis.
There are no confirmed cases of wild bison transmitting brucellosis to cattle. United Property Owners of Montana filed a complaint in Fergus County Court Monday, demanding the agency take a harder look at data and the risk of disease transmission, among other things, then revise its report accordingly. This year, the FWP wrapped up what it called an exhaustive 8-year public process studying what it would take to restore wild bison to the state. It has not yet developed proposals for potential or future reintroduction of wild bison into Montana for conservation purposes. As of Thursday afternoon, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks spokesperson Greg Lemon said the court has not yet served the department with the complaint and it is not able to respond. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The annual Made in Montana trade show featuring products from Big Sky Country vendors is still scheduled today and tomorrow for wholesale buyers, but not open to the general public. Nikki Ouellette reports that one vendor who can't make it to the show this year has built her business telling stories with greeting cards.
When Debbie DeJarlais moved back to her hometown, she saw a need.
You can't find any Native American cards here in Billings or in Montana. And we need cards for everything, you know, from birthdays to funerals to whatever. So
the graphic designer, enrolled member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, and Assiniboine descendant made a set of four.
This is the red one. This is one of my favorites.
150 vendors are set to showcase Made in Montana products this weekend at the annual trade show in Helena. Products bearing the Made in Montana signature sticker raked in an estimated $94 million in non-resident spending in 2018. That's according to the University of Montana's Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research. Made in Montana vendors spend a vast and varied gamut of wares, from agricultural and ranch supplies to computer software to maps to local foods and fibers. DeJarlais' Native American Made in Montana branded greeting cards feature colorful 8-pointed morning stars that are based on hand-stitched quilts passed down generations until they reached her mom, Cookie.
One was given to my dad from when he was in World War II in war.
Another was given to her mom by a cousin.
And this star quilt was made in a log house down on the bottom, they called it. We call it Wyota.
DeJarlais' cards tell not only the story of the patterns on Cookie's blankets, but how those patterns were rendered before white settler colonization.
When we ran out of buffalo, then there was nothing for, you know, our food and everything was gone. But also the Indian women drew and painted on the buffalo hides. And that art was gone along with the buffalo.
She says Native women learned to quilt from missionaries and at boarding schools.
And we just got very artistic with it. Went to town.
DeJarlais says receiving a star quilt is one of the highest honors in her tribe's tradition. She says she and her mom tried to capture a slice of culture and history in explanations they printed on the back of the cards.
I feel like they're teaching cards. I feel like everything I do is a little bit of teaching to help people understand. And I think just to teach people a little bit something about us in a non-threatening way. Get a card and learn something. That's all.
DeJarlais' Made in Montana product is still a side hustle that she pairs with other projects, like her and her brother's magazine, Native Wellness Life, and other work. But she says the cards are gaining steam. Last year, they were part of the market at the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. She says local sales are going well, too.
They sold out pretty fast.
The Made in Montana trade show is open to wholesalers Friday and Saturday. In Billings, I'm Nikki Ouellette for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.